You guys, this is my favorite purchase I've made in recent years. I just want you to comment on it. Give me the praise and adulation.
Make movies shorter is the
it's
hat.
It's a great hat.
It is.
What does it say?
It says 97 minutes with credits.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Sorry, am I bringing a bad vibe to the podcast?
No, you're good. This is the last one of the season.
Okay.
Like, you're doing, this is all fun.
Okay.
Yeah. You know what, Michael? It's a good reminder because I was thinking this episode could go like 3 hours for me at least. I could talk about this forever. So you're right. Let's keep this tight, concise, and James
make podcast
remember.
Shorter.
Make podcast shorter. Click.
Remember that record that you bought me like 2 years ago? Well, I just remember that it's sitting in the closet. So I called you up just to tell you I've been meaning to listen to that. I've been meaning to listen to that. Why don't you come over and talk about it? Ooh, ooh. Don't you come over and talk about it?
Oh, hey everybody, welcome to I've Been Meaning to Listen to That, the podcast where we go through albums we've been meaning to listen to and use as a conduit to learn about each other and our guests. I'm Andrew Ambrose Lee.
I'm Michael Mitado.
I'm Harper Thompson.
And I'm Stanley Philippe.
Philippe. So this is our season finale of season 5. I think a really great season of the show. Like, there was like a little bit of like, we're not going to talk about this the whole time, but like, I'm just like really happy with how the season turned out. I'm really glad I got to meet you guys in this context and like continue doing the show and make great arts. This is our last episode of the season. It's on Childish Gambino's Because the Internet's. It's an album I've been listening to on and off for like the last 10 years. Let's just get started. What is y'all's perspective and history with Donald Glover / Childish Gambino? By the way, they're two different. They're the same guy. Like, they one's like, you know, this like his alter ego and stuff.
Wait, Childish Gambino is Donald Glover?
Yeah. It's like,
oh my God, from Community?
Yeah, from Community, Solo.
They're the same guy?
The Lazarus Effect. I was like, this guy probably has like interesting takes on postmodernism and the internet and such.
When I watched the Lazarus Effect, I was kind of like, why is this the only guy Jesus brought back from the dead in all four gospels?
Yeah,
you know,
the Olivia Wilde. Oh boy,
it's just like I think he could do it for more people, but I don't know.
So yeah, what is your history with besides loving being the number one? I on the back of your hat it says number one Lazarus stand.
Yeah, I say Lazarus, but Lazarus from the Bible. I just want to make sure you guys know.
OG Lazarus.
OG Lazarus.
Yeah. Yes, thank you.
OG Lazzy.
Yeah. OG Lazzy.
I'm a Lazarino. Lazzy boy.
Lazzy boy.
Andrew, for real, my history with Childish Gambino is with Community. I knew him from Community. I knew him as a writer on 30 Rock. I was like a big comedy nerd. Big surprise, I'm sure, to you guys. Big comedy nerd, you know, in high school and college. And still now, but I don't think I keep up with it as much. Like, I don't know who new talents are, but I knew Childish Gambino, right? He was seen on as like a very talented 30 Rock writer, effectively, right? And kind of got his way into the comedy world. I think he's so talented at everything, but I really like his comedy. Like, I kind of think he's just a funny guy. Not to like, that feels like reductive. I'm not trying to be reductive by saying funny guy, but like, he's a funny guy, and that comes across in his rapping too. Like, he is like the pun king of rap, right? Almost distractingly so, right? But I just think he's like one of the funniest guys. That's my history with him. I've listened to all his music though.
Yeah, I think that like with him being like a funny guy and his rapping, right? Like, that was kind of my entry point to him for sure. Like, I was not like, I didn't watch Community, but I was definitely in like, you know, nerd culture, Tumblr culture around that time. And so I think like, you know, me and my friends were all into like Freaks and Geeks was the first Childish Gambino song I think I heard, and I could still like do most of it. But I mean, that one had so many, like every single line was a pun, you know, like E coming on her face. Now that's poetry in motion, you know, like classic, classic Childish Gambino. But like, You know, but I think progressively he has pulled back on that and used it more sparingly, like when appropriate.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He's still like, it's, this is like a subconscious theme of our, the albums we covered this year have been like creative puberty,
yeah,
kind of.
Yeah,
and like
totally.
Puberty 2 has been like, Ariana's album was that, Fiona Apple was that. Like there are a lot of like, and this is another instance of that. He like, where he's in between. Yeah.
It's interesting because I think they've all been a lot of our picks too that we've been bringing to the podcast, being like, this is formative to me, which is also like formative to these artists. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah,
like,
yeah.
That's an interesting note, which I think I agree with. Ooh, I got goosebumps. Ooh. Sorry, I've talked more today than I think I have in years.
You've been saving it. You've been saving it.
I know.
And it's very good.
I'm really
sorry. You're good. You're really good. I'll just quickly say, like everybody else, like Childish Gambino, Donald Glover, know both of them pretty well, and really love the comedy, love the music, love the punchlines. Like it was the stuff that we could like rap along and say to our friends and all that good stuff. And this was like, yeah, the year of hip hop. Like 10 years later, like you think of all the albums that dropped in 2013, and this one was one that I was looking forward to before it dropped, and it held up to my expectations, which was this guy is going to try stuff and he's going to try to create a world as opposed to release an album. Camp was like the beginning of that world painting. And then this was really him revealing the artist in his fullest form. And I'm so excited to talk about this because there is a lot to talk about that's outside of just the music, which is kind of cool.
Yeah. Like, first of all, like, I think, when Harper's point about him being like a Tumblr era artist, like I remember looking at his Tumblr all the time and he would like just like post like just a video he thought was funny. And he was like very much, I think he is one of the first models, like products of this current internet, where Derek Comedy was one of the first like sketch comedy things ever, like on a YouTube platform, like 2006. And to the point where he says in an interview where he was like, one of the first comments we got on these videos is, this isn't real.
I love this isn't real as a comment. Just like, okay.
Which, yeah, like that's, it was like so ahead of the curve in that way. And then just like this platform was provided and then taking advantage of the platform. It's not like he invented these like sketch comedy or whatever. It's just like being one of the first to ride these waves and like being like, we kind of watched him grow up in a way in that Derek Comedy, then the movie, the Mystery Team movie, then his stand up, which is on YouTube still, which is like still like Weirdo that came out, Community. And then this is like, I think is him wrestling with that. But to go back a little bit, he was my first love as a musician. Just point blank, my first love as a musician. This is a story I tell a few times. I had this Walkman, this like kind of MP3 player that had like just 100 songs I've heard in my life. I had no taste at this point in my life. And then Childish Gambino, Freaks and Geeks was the first time I was like, I'm going to latch on to this artist. This is like a good transitionary point of, first of all, my love of, like Michael, my love of comedy. And then also like a lot of the rap I heard was too scary for me. So like too scary as like a suburban child, you know? So I was like, you know, I really gravitated to this. I'm like, oh, he's like making puns. He's like the guy I saw on TV and the Derek Comedy and stuff. And yeah. And then like him leaving Community after 5 seasons, like, where the first 5 seasons, it seems like he loved this show so much. He was like so super invested in it. And then season 4, like partly because Dan Harmon left and partly because he was just like going through his own shit, he was just like, he seemed checked out. He was like not into it anymore. You know, he kind of like stuck the landing of his last 5 episodes. But
Dan
like,
Harmon, by the way, a genius who's never done anything wrong. Yeah, yeah. I just want to.
This episode's going to follow the circle. This is the crossing the threshold part of the episode.
I just want to make sure someone's standing up for Danny Boy right now.
I remember this being the first time him leaving Community and then him putting out that weird 20-minute, like, short short film about him just like hanging around his mansion, like the Chris Bosch mansion, just like doing stuff. And I was like, what is this? This isn't what I recognize. And then him like posting these like Instagram notes and like him just like changing from what I recognize. This is, I think this was the first time I experienced something like that with an artist. This is the first time I witnessed like an era change with an artist, like consciously. I think I obviously I understood on some level that happens, but that was the first time I was like just there every step of the way, using the internet to follow it, trying to piece it together. And then I think this time for the 10-year anniversary, my thought process is going into it is this good? Does this hold up? Because like Camp, I listened to it yesterday. It held up better than I remembered. I remembered it being really bad, but like there's still a lot of stuff that's like really gross, really kind of borderline incel-y, borderline like the, oh, you're referencing Clash of the Titans? Like, who cares about that? You know, Casey Anthony, like, who cares about that? That doesn't like hold up. And musically, it's super amateurish. So I was like wondering if this holds up. So
it's not going to hold up like Pink Friday 2 certainly is going to hold up, though.
So, let's talk about Pink Friday, too. What are the themes? Besides, let's make a long
joke. I was just trying to do a little joke. That was not supposed to be Pink Friday too bad, Wonka good, because the internet, we'll find out.
Oh, what a teaser.
I do want to make sure everyone knows Wonka good.
Okay. Yeah, I believe you. I'm happy. Yeah.
Wonka, yeah, but Wonka worth it?
Wonka worth it.
Yeah, Wonka worth it.
Wonka, good time at the theater.
Okay, Wonka worth it at the theater.
Wonka fun.
Wonka,
Flocka Flame.
Oh, man. Hey, man, because the internet, we're like losing participles and like connecting.
Okay, that's words. Literally Wonka that's good? Literally something Wonka does, though. He's like, this is stupendiflorous, magnificent. Like that stuff he says.
Okay, enough of this. So let's talk about themes of this album. Let's talk about what this album is about. What's Because the Internet about, man?
It's about fake friends, man.
Yeah, it is.
I know.
Yeah, like Wonka. Like Wonka's a fake friend.
Yeah. Do these Oompa Loompas even really love me?
Right. So, so it's
Andrew's
about
going to strangle me. I'm watching it. He's getting my address. He's getting my IP.
Yeah, I do think it's like this. Yeah, it's about fake. Like, that's a big theme.
A ton
of this album,
is about
too.
Fake
I agree,
friends.
Though. Yeah.
And you could tell he's thinking about it like a lot. Like it comes up in almost every song, I would say.
I mean, I think like a lot of it is like really just about existing in life in 2013, right? Like on the internet and in reality, which how it intersects with the internet, obviously because of the internet. But like, you know, when he says GPOY at one point, I was like, it just like unlocked a memory for me, right? Because that acronym is so specifically 2013. You know, so it is very specific to the time. I would say like the time in which the album was written is a theme of the album.
What is GPOY short for? I don't know.
Gratuitous pics of yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's such a dated term, too, right? Because I feel like now we all just post like a million photos of ourselves all the time. And no one thinks about it. But at the time, like you were kind of like you did kind of get some shade for posting photo like selfies a lot.
Oh, like you're posting too much. That would be yeah. Like GPOY.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah, it's like instead now we do like, you know, felt cute might delete. But back then, like someone might say like GPOY.
Huh.
Yeah.
I did not know that at all. Huh. Sorry. I'm not trying to haunt you guys. Like, I no, just did not know.
I mean, you both nailed it. I think, you know, fake friends and time. And how do you spend your time? Do you spend it with your fake friends or do you try to world build, recognizing that you only have a certain amount of time in this quote unquote reality? And then choosing to either spend that time in this reality or in the other one, which is the internet. And so I think it's his grappling with how to spend his time and recognizing that everyone's going to die, but nobody wants to act like they're going to die. And trying to like then build or not build in both scenarios of, okay, well, if we all accept this inevitability, then what does that look like? But if none of us will, then what do I do to make myself live forever?
You know, it's the philosophical thing of like, if we all know we're going to die, life is absurd, you know, but then it's also, I think in this album, it's also the internet just like adds a new wrench to it of like, if we all feel alone all the time, but the internet connects us all, like, but it's also at the same time, we can't actually fix each other's loneliness. So it's like, what are your choices in that world? Do you either just lie down depressed all day? Do you live like this hedonistic life? Or like Stanley said, do you try to build something, try to help other people, try to connect in spite of these roadblocks, in spite, like truly connect with like, you know, people and stuff.
And it is, and then also it's like the idea of like, it's the Jeopardy moment, right? Like the answer was given before the question. So because the internet's the answer, but what's the question? Like, what is he and we asking that leads us to say, well, it's because the internet, you know, is he asking like, why am I lonely? Why are we still, you know, accepting capitalism? Like, why do we chase fake friends? Like what's the question that drives us, that guides us? You know, what is the Matrix? You know, like it's like that I think is interesting that the title is the answer to an unknown question.
It's like a, what's it called? Like a hanging participle, like one of those things where it's like kind of this, like that the title and then 3005 are so, that's so good because it's such an evocative thing. You have a thought, you fill in the meaning, you fill in the after or before, the prefix or the suffix of because the internet, of because for me, because the internet, I know you guys, like I have a podcast because like I don't know if we would have been connected if not because of the internet. Like I kind of met you maybe one time, maybe not even.
Definitely met one time. Not to. I remember that we met one time in my head.
Okay. Okay.
But that was just like an offhand meeting. Like, of course you wouldn't remember, but I'm just a more thoughtful and nice person than you are. So I of course remember that. Okay. Sorry. I'm being silly, but that being said, we for sure wouldn't have fostered any sort of relationship that would have led to creating content together. Like, that is something that you can only do because of the internet, right? Like, I moved out of Champaign ASAP. I don't even go back to Champaign. Like, last time I was in Champaign, I saw you. I saw Sean. I texted one of my friends, and I was like, hey, what are you doing? And she's like, I live in Idaho now. And I was like, oh, yeah. Awesome. So it's like, you know, it's not a place I'm super connected with anymore. So,
yeah, it's like you could kind of curate your existence in a way that is the most fruitful. Mm-hmm. Like Harper, I met because you were doing Hawkeyes during the same time I was doing my show, and it was like, oh my gosh, like we are doing the same thing, and then eventually let's team up. And then Stanley, I met because of the Kanye episodes we did. You messaged, just point blank messaged me saying you liked the episodes, and then we talked to each other, and then we formed like a friendship after that. Like, it's like, that's so random. That's hashtag random. Like, that doesn't like, how did you find that? Like, how is that put in front of you? The show? How is that even put in front of you? Like, how?
Andrew, that's very GPOI of us, you know, this whole experience.
Your two-est podcasts of yourself.
Right.
Yeah.
Guys, I know it. I've known what it said for the whole time. I for sure in 2013 wasn't super sheltered and didn't know about stuff.
Come on, Michael, put your GPOI hat on. Come on, put it on.
Yeah. I was a real slut back then. But like, so
yeah,
like,
we know that about you, Andrew. Yeah. I was like, slut it down, my man.
Slut it down.
Make slut down sesh shorter or longer. I don't know. Okay, so my
I don't even know
this
what
album.
That's a joke on, Andrew.
It's your hat.
Make
your
movies shorter.
Hat.
Oh, thank you. My dumb hat.
Your dumb hat in like, I meant it in like a post-modern way of
good.
Just like dumb is
good,
good now. Good. Yeah, dumb good, Wonka good.
Wonka good!
Okay, so, hey man, look at me. I'm having opinions on movies I haven't even seen yet. It's because of the internet, brother.
I'm obsessed with saying Wonka good. I've said Wonka good around the house.
It's like, a funny, it's a funny collection of syllables. Yeah. It's so funny.
I've said to Hayden this week, Wonka good, like Probably 400 times. I've been like, are you excited to see Wonka on Sunday? Wonka good. Wonka good.
So, okay. So there's this theme of postmodernism where, and then like the previous album, Camp, ends with the spoken word segment of Donald falling in love with this girl and then doing this grand gesture of confessing his love to her, invoking destiny. And then the girl goes off to her friends and laughs at him. And then he realizes the lesson he comes out of that is like, I'm going to be honest all the time because that's the way to avoid getting hurt. And I'm going to stay in this childlike zone like the rest of this time. And then the screenplay for this album says you can't live your life on a bus. You have like basically saying you eventually have to grow up. And I think the thing he didn't account for when he was a child in that quote unquote story, like obviously that's a fictional story. That didn't really happen. Is the internet accelerating postmodernism, where postmodernism being the idea that truth is relative and malleable rather than fixed and, you know, just concrete. Of science is concrete, but like a good example of postmodernism being good is it's Walker liberating good. From a, yeah, like yeah, like an example of postmodernism is like Wonka good and like that like someone else might think Wonka bad.
They don't Wonka like, bad, like it's Wonka like this good.
See, that's like a non-postmodern. Like, that's a very, very fixed. Okay, but like the idea that it kind of breaks open gender or sexuality or any of these things where it's like before it was like very like there are only two genders, one sexuality, and now it's like kind of broken open of just like there's way more out there and like people have more freedom to express. And the bad part of postmodernism is that there's no, if there's no fixed truth, that means that paves the way for like Donald Trump, where we now have to deal with alternate facts. We now have to spend our time arguing about the meaning of words. And we have to like, we live in a world where, simultaneously, like facts don't care about your feelings and feelings are facts at the same time. You know, it's like it's more dynamic and true, but it's also very confusing. It's very difficult, especially the currency now is wisdom and discernment. You have to be, if there's so much information being splattered at you, you have to like kind of discern, this is the correct thing. I'm going to take this truth forward. But it's harder with the internet where it's just like constant barrage. And it's no wonder that there is like an Amy Schumer or like a, what's her name? Like the Julianne Margulies or whoever, just like some people who just eventually they get lost in just like the internet age.
Is Amy Schumer lost in the internet age? Is that a thing about her?
Yeah, she's super Zionist now, unfortunately. So
what
like,
the fuck?
Can I just say quickly about what you said, Andrew? Because I think the one thing I would change of that is not have to, but choose to. And I think this is what it comes down to is we all have to die. We all choose to either accept it and live with it or ignore it and play around. And because of the internet, we can then extend what we believe is our lifespan because now we have a way of either, again, creating experiences, creating opinions, sharing, you know, the way that we see the world with like-minded people, dismiss those that we don't want to actually have the conversation with. Like we can actually kind of alter our reality, but all simultaneously, like why ignoring the one thing that we have to do, which is die. Because if we then all accepted and said out loud that we have to die, we would make some different choices. Because every time we're faced with death, we do make different choices, right? Like there is a simplicity to how we live and how we interact when death is at our table. But right now, like we're still appetizing on what we call life. And so we feel like there's an endlessness of options. And so we choose things. And in the way that you laid out, we choose all of those things. We choose a Donald Trump. We don't have to have a Donald Trump, but we chose Donald Trump for a particular reason. And I think that's what this album allows you to explore 10 years later is, hey, the choices that we're making haven't gotten necessarily better or worse with the internet. It's just, what do you put in front of your face at all times? That's what you're going to think is the reality of things. that's where you feel like the haves come in, is if you only filter, like I filter a very kind of, you know, a yay approach. And so in my world, it's like, wow, everyone is obsessed like I'm obsessed. In reality, like a lot of people, because of his actions, ignore his entire world, rightfully so, right? But in my space, in my internet, it's like, yay, baby, all the time, you know? So how do we choose to craft an experience, both earthly and digitally, is really interesting. I think what this album is all about.
And it's also like, death is like the big part. Like, I think he acknowledges we all have to die. Like, we all have to. Like, 3005, first of all, we'll never make it to there. Maybe our lineage won't even make it to there. Maybe our earth won't even make it to there. Like, to then, you know, that's like very possible. And then, so I think that, like, the postmodern age combined with that also makes Donald a superhero. Like, also makes him the one of the great artists of our, like, maybe like top 10 artists, in my opinion, of like just the postmodernism. Like, the good part of it is like it makes art really interesting. Like, Christian art, I talked about this before, but Christian art can be very bad because it has like a very fixed truth. And the art's job is to express that truth in a very fixed way. Like, the art is just like a conduit to the message that isn't malleable. Like, here, like, the truth of like, what makes this world building so interesting is that there's no answer to it. Like, there, you could like search around this world and not find an answer, and the search is the fun part.
Andrew, can I ask you a question about the screenplay? So I didn't actually know that existed until you sent it to the group chat today. Can you talk a little bit about that and what that is and how it relates to the album?
Yeah, I think it's like, again, it feels like it's answers some questions and it adds more. So it's like, it's really like, it's just basically, I'm not going to like go through the whole thing, but it's basically the story of just like this. It's like what happens to that kid on that bus after he leaves the bus. He becomes an internet troll. He becomes like an incel weirdo, like, and like this nihilistic incel weirdo. And then he watches someone die. And then he has this like kind of existential crisis. He tries to like, it's very like non-linear structurally, in that just like characters like pop in and out and stuff. And he has these meaningful interactions with them that don't actually mean anything. And he's like grasping for connection. He's trying to like reconnect with exes and stuff. And then there's a lot of like surreal elements. Like, his dad is Rick Ross for some reason. And like there's a Coachella rave in his bathroom closet for some reason. And it's like this, like, and then that's also like, they show like, they filmed like little scenes of it. They didn't like film the whole thing. They just give you a little framework visually of what it might look like. And I think it's great. I think it like, it adds also like, for some reason, he fights the guy from who made the "What Does the Fox Say" video. Like, that was like a big plot point. And then he like becomes a drug dealer and then he dies, but then he like reincarnates at the end, sort of. So it's like this very open-ended, like, you get to the end and like, wait, what was the meaning of all that? Like, I thought out by reading this, it would explain the album better, but I'm just left like more confused. I think that's what I think he's through the album, through the screenplay, through like the short film. I think he's just communicating that feeling. It's not, here's the didactic answer to my perspective. It's, this is how I feel. I feel lost. I feel disengaged and depressed and all this like stuff. So that's what the screenplay is, basically.
Cool.
So screenplay good, screenplay bad?
Screenplay good. I think it's good. I think it's like, but I don't think it's like the full thing. It's like, it's kind of like it's like Scott Pilgrim, in that like there's a graphic novel and then there's the movie and then there's like the TV show, where they're all different experiences, and they, I think together make a really interesting thing. Like, all three of those things together make a really interesting thing. But I think all three, the album certainly stands out by itself, but then the other stuff is interesting supplemental material. And then there's a tour that like adds some lore to it. And like the music videos, like, are they're not scenes from the screenplay. They're just like like thematically linked and stuff. Like some, it's really cool. I really love it.
Yeah, I think his intention was like, I mean, he was saying in an interview I was watching today, like, you know, music was dying. Like the idea of music as a viable art form that people would pay for was, you know, was dying. And certainly we're kind of here. But he was like, you know, can I create an experience? Because fans wanted more than just hearing sounds. They wanted to actually experience your life. And the idea of like taking a selfie, you know, with the artist, it's like, hey, I can inject myself into your world. So he gave as many kind of almost like outlets as possible for fans to inject themselves in his world. You know, whether it's a screenplay, the short film, the album, the tour, like all of these, the website, all of these things were conduits to fans being a part of Childish Gambino / Donald Glover's experience in the hopes of crafting their own and then creating that lore that when he dies, he maintains relevancy through all of that world building, you know?
But also, like, we're talking about, like, we'll like, move on in a second. Because, like, again, this could be a 3-hour episode. I know we make podcast episodes shorter. All that stuff. But, like there's, like, this, like, idea of, yes, he wants to extend his life through the arts. Like, his like when he dies, people will listen to Because of the Internet. And people will enjoy it. And, like, people will remember the website and check it out. There'll be an archive of it. But it's also, like, I think letting go of it too. I think in this, it's like understanding that you're going to die is also letting go mm-hmm. of this, like the fight of physical media versus streaming is obviously it's on some level, it's better to have the physical disc so that if they take it off streaming, then you could still watch it anytime you want to. That's like a really valuable thing. But streaming represents reality a little, our modern reality a little closer in that it's about an experience. It's like here and it's gone in a second. It could go away in a second. And what really matters is not the physical thing. What really matters is like your experience watching it, like maybe what you got from it and how you'll like go out to your life afterwards. Like you can erase all copies of When Harry Met Sally or whatever movie, Wonka even. Like, you can erase all copies of Wonka. I know, like a dystopia. Like, you can erase all these. Like,
I won't have what she's having.
Like, I won't go.
Wonka doesn't exist. Wonka gone.
Wonka isn't real.
Gone, like, Wonka by directed
Gonka. Oh man, so funny. But so, like, it's like, I think it's like kind of what this, like, I watched like a happiness lab that done by like one of like an Ivy League school. I don't remember what it was, but like they said, like, happiness is experiences instead of owning things and having things in your hand and stuff. Like, it's kind of more about, I think this is what he understands more than anything. I'm just like, he purposely wiped out all these the traces of the screenplay, knowing that someone will, like, first of all, just remember it. Second of all, like, and be like, oh man, what a time when YouTube was like that. What a time when this was like this. But also, like, he knows that, like, someone else will, like, have it also, you know, just like, so that they can just put it up on the internet whenever they want. So, any other themes?
Well, I like the thought of him being a futurist in that 3005, right? Like, I think he talked about this in another interview where he's like, oh, I made that song so that in 3005, like, they're going to look me up and say, like, oh, well, who's this Childish Gambino character who thought about making a song called The Year That, you know, like Prince 1999, like they had these moments where you're like, oh yeah, like this song, you know, predicted what 3005 would look like. And is it right or wrong? You know, so just by having that in X amount of time in less than 1,000 years, he'll still be relevant if there's an earth or whatever, but he'll still be played, you know, like, so that's kind of a cool idea of being a futurist. And then I think also, like, being a competitor, a competition, right? Like who's Childish Gambino's competition in 2013? No, it's Drake. you know, the child actor.
Drake in 2023, though.
Yes, yes, 100%, right? But the child actor turned rapper, like, who's the best of that? You know, is it J. Cole, like, the producer rapper? Like, who's the best of that? Like, is it Kanye, like, the person who's able to take art and spread it across the masses? Who's the best at that? Like, is it, you know, Kendrick? Like, Kendrick rapping his ass off on Good Kid, M.A.A.D City. Like, is Childish Gambino even considered a rapper? A rapper's rapper.
Yeah, he doesn't. Right? He says he's not a rapper. Even he pointedly says he's not.
Yeah,
that. He's an artist first. So I think he's in that way he's the most similar to Kanye. But like it's in the, but it's also like I think he hates these labels too. He does not. I think he's what he's doing with this album, what he's done with his whole life is just defy any sort of label put on him because it is oppressive. Because it is. Like, you're the comedian who raps, you know, that type of thing. It's like, no, I'm so, like, I think he's had this like suicide scare. Mm-hmm. He was like, he thought about maybe ending his own life. And I think what made him kind of stop was like, I'm just going to be the guy who's on Community. Like, I'm going to be that guy and they'll be sad. And like, maybe there'll be some Facebook posts. I didn't change the world. And I feel like not by staying on the show till six seasons in a movie, I am limiting my potential mm-hmm. on this earth, you know? And I think people like stay in position. I personally struggle with this too, because I hate my like day job. I don't like it. And I eventually need to take the next step, but I'm scared. But I'm scared of like, maybe like making the podcast my primary focus, or maybe be making art my primary focus, because I'm like, I love security. I love safety. I love I love spending money on things, you know, because like, you know, I love spending money on Wonka tickets and all that stuff. You
the
know?
Starving like, artist seems fun until you get to the starving part, you know?
Yeah, exactly. You know, yeah. Like I love that he's brave enough to just go and that's always been his thing. That's always been his thing. As soon as he brings the metaphor of high school of like, as soon as you finish high school, you kind of get how to do it, but too bad you're not in high school anymore. You have to deal with this new reality. And I think a lot of us just end up in high school, like just like stay in this kind of thing that's comfortable, have these labels that are comfortable. Like I'm an Asian comedy podcaster guy, you know, it's like, it's really, there's comfort in that label, even though I'm way more than that. And I just like very inspired to like in the next coming years to just like move forward and like try and figure what
I'm only a funny gay Italian podcaster. I have no other traits. I just want you guys to know that.
Besides Michael, like we all contain multitudes.
No, Michael. No, you're a movie reviewer as well. You do great reviews.
That's part of being gay, though. That falls under gay.
Like, how about we take a second real quick, Michael? Can you just quickly give us a review of the last movie you saw? Just a quick review.
Oh. I don't know what it was.
Yeah, like a concise one. A really like thought out. Really like, yeah.
Two words.
Okay,
yeah,
let me
yeah.
think. Okay, Wonka.
Uh-huh. Oh, he's
going to say,
oh,
okay, nice.
Let's take a quick break. Let's talk about highlight songs. I'll go first. Just like, obviously, all of it's great. I think all of it is really good. The one I'll talk about is "Fly the Navigator." Mm. I think that's like my favorite of this album. Like, it's a weird choice, like because I do like all the rapping and stuff, but like, first of all, just like my memory of this song back in the day. Like when I was in college, or I don't remember, like, was that really 10 years ago? Jeez mm-hmm. Louise, that's ridiculous. But like, yeah, like I remember when I was in college, I would like, and I was like really like suicidal. I would like listen to the song over and over and over, try to like glean meaning and catharsis, but also like not finding any in this song. It's kind of like this really like, I didn't understand it at the time, but nowadays, like, I feel like it's about like it starts off with this harmonious moment of peace. Like in the prior song, like in the screenplay, it's like supposed to soundtrack him like taking like some like trying to like complete suicide. And like, and then like this song is like kind of this like fugue state of just like this comatose states. And then he like sees this like utopic, peaceful world where like they're all kissing and they're all like one and all this stuff. Everything's right instead of everything being wrong, like in the real world. I just like reminds me of like just like how I feel like often of just like this year start like 2023 starting off really good for me, where I was very intentional with my mental health. I was exercising 3 times a week. I was like working on myself, and then like I was finally getting more success with dating after feeling like struggling with self-esteem, self-worth and stuff. And then I dated someone for like 3 months, and then they ghosted me after the 3 months, and it was like really hard. And the last 4 months of this year, I feel like I've been regressing. And because it felt like it was a joke. It felt like, I've been building this self-worth. I've been building all this stuff. And then it's just like the rug being pulled out from under you. Just kidding. It's a joke. You are what you thought you were. And then for Donald, like seeing this vision of this unified world and calling it meanness, I really like at what I'm in a very depressive state, I really resonate with that idea. So I think this song is also just beautiful production wise. The song is like so like Ludwig Göransson, like he, when starting this album, he was like, I knew I had to step up. I knew I had to like go be above and beyond. And now he's like working on Oppenheimer and all these great movies and stuff like that. It's awesome. Mm-hmm. So yeah.
No, just kidding. I'm sorry. I think that is... No, I have nothing to say that helps or is additional. No, okay. I'm sorry.
That's okay. So, what? Yeah. Any thoughts on that or any, like, highlights?
I have a really hard time pulling context out of albums a lot of the time, Andrew. This was one of those albums I kind of went by vibes on a little bit.
It works vibe-y. That way, too, though. Yeah.
The suicide attempt or the screenplay aspect of this is something I didn't dive into at all, so I do appreciate coming on and getting that context, because I'm gonna have to move around some of my lowlights.
No, you're good.
Given the context,
but you didn't. It's okay to not know things.
It's no, like, but it's like, important yeah. to know things though if you're gonna talk about it critically in any way. I do want to say, for highlights for me, I'm going to take my basic ass bitch answers because I'm ready for it. The duo, the combo, everybody knows Sweatpants, everybody knows 3005, and everybody knows those songs because they're fun as fuck. I love those songs. Sweatpants is so fun. 3005, come on. Everybody knows that song. Like, I just think 3005 has like fun production behind it. I'll hone in more specifically on 3005. It does something different from the rest of the album, whereas I feel like it has like a unique sound to it too. Like, I think every rap song that becomes, not rap song sounds so pejorative with what I'm saying, but ones that make the mainstream or ones that everybody knows, they have a beat you know from the beginning, right? Like, it's iconic in and of itself, right? And it's not, as far as I know, sampling anything. It's just like its own beat, right? And I think that lends itself to like a great song. And I think the sentiment of it is like, I want you with me, you know, like I want this to work out. Who can relate to that, right?
Who can relate? Woo!
Who can relate? Woo! That's a song about suicide too.
I think what this album, what Childish Gambino does so well is he is such a great intro to blank rapper. Like, he is like, first of all, a great intro to rap album, like rapper, in that like young weird Tumblr kids can like enjoy like, oh, I get this, you know, I don't relate to that. I get this. But also like a good, this is probably the first time people have read a screenplay. Like, this is probably the first time that like some weird college kid has like read a screenplay. I read them in high school, but whatever. But like, and this song is like the first time probably someone has heard, a young kid has probably heard an existential rap song. of just like, what is the meaning of it all? And like, we won't make it to 3005. This album might not make it to 3005. Just really depressing lines about like, I lost all hope of a happy ending. And like the Michael's theme about fake friends and stuff. But it's also like, it reminds me of like that My Love, Mine, All Mine song, where it's like, what happens when our bodies decompose and our possessions turn to dust? What will remain? And here it's like, I hope it's love. I hope it's like this thing that is cyclical. Like what, when I die, what I produce is a cyclical, positive forward momentum. You know, I think that's like what this song is kind of doing, but I don't know. What do you guys think?
Agree. I like that he's joined this pantheon of artists, thinkers, thinking about the next turn of the millennium, like the Jonas Brothers, year 3000, and Black Eyed Peas, 3000 and late. 3000 and
late. The great thinkers of our generation.
That's right. That's right.
I also love, like, you know, like the song 1999, you know, the Prince song, like, we lived through, like, and the movie 2012, like, we lived through those years and find it funny, you know? But 3005 is so far out that none of us who are currently living will experience that. So yeah. I think that's,
listen,
like,
to this, Zeep Zorp. Isn't this hilarious?
I also think, as a love song, I think, like, the idea of, you know, I'll love you forever. No, what's longer than forever? 3005. You know, because I can actually picture forever. I can't picture 3005.
Wow.
You know, so I like this idea of like, I'll be right by your side until 3005.
Hold up.
I think it just paints a really cool picture, especially when he's like super depressed and alone, but he's latching on to this idea of like, maybe in 1,000 years things will work out. And if it does, like, I'm right there with you. You know, I think it's very romantic in that sense. And then from a concert perspective, when I saw Childish live for this, this was probably the song that, like, everyone, to your point, Michael, like, everyone just and he lost it too, right? Like, everyone just lost it. It's like he forgot that he was creating this, like, you know, moment or this world with his tour. He just was just fucking rocking with his fans, and we were rocking right back, and the chant, like, I'll be right by your side till 2005.
Hold up. Like, it's just, yeah, it's so fun.
And I can, and every time I listen to this song, I do the 1, 2, 1, 2, 3, let's go. Because that's what he did, right? You're just right. Like, oh man, like, it was such a joyful. And in sweatpants, I'll just quickly say, like, I had a past life as a hip hop karaoke, if that's a word. And this is one of the songs I did, sweatpants. And I remember just laughing. That's a good one.
Yeah,
but I was laughing through my performance because people were singing along so loud to it. And I was just like usually, like, people just kind of like watch you and rock with you, but people were just like almost interrupting the performance. And I was like, I can't be in my like rapper mode. Like, I'm giggling on stage because everyone's just like so into this track. So it's a banger. Like, it's a straight up.
They're
banger.
Both bangers. I also like the jokes in these two songs, like, they hit for me, but maybe it's because I've heard them so much. But I love the, like, Fiskers don't make noise when they start out, by the way.
That part is so good.
Onomatopoeia, like that. There's a moment in almost all these songs that are like lodge in your brain. They're so memorable and they're so like funny and interesting, or just like, or a production choice was weird and something like that. Sweatpants, I feel like, perfects his prior version of rapping, where it's just like this punchline. It's funny. Yeah. It's easy. It's like, I think with Camp, you could feel the sweat of just like, I'm so clever. Get me. Understand.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, you know, it's just like so like, it's like a excuse to go dumb with a writer that's so smart. Like,
yeah, it doesn't feel sweaty. It feels like, oh, I'm throwing
fancy. These off. Because like fancy. the sweatpants are gathering them. Yeah. By the way, we're gonna rank this album at the end, like sweater pants. So
I think all the time the line, probably my favorite line, is because we all just take a time bomb, got a Lambo like LeBron's mom.
Yeah,
I love that line. That's so funny. Okay. Anytime I see a Lamborghini, you know what I think of? LeBron's mom. Like, that's how in my head that is.
Yeah,
I also feel like in both of these songs, there's like one line that really sticks out to me as something that like not that, you know, just like melodically will I'll always keep in my brain. So like like I think like don't be mad because I'm doing me better than you're doing you. That one's like so good. It's so catchy. And in 3000.
What?
Yeah.
Sorry.
Thank you,
and then 3005.
Oh, she said, like, what? Don't be mad because I'm doing me okay. better than you're doing you.
Sorry, I was just thinking Wonka Good.
Thank you for hearing me.
Wonka
yeah,
Good. Like... Yeah.
And what was the other one? Yeah.
Oh, no, just in 3005. No matter what you say or what you do, like, that part is really good. So.
Mm-hmm. Harper, what's a highlight for you?
I actually went back to my playlist that I made on Spotify from 2013. I usually each year I will pick, I'll pick like my top two songs from each album I listened to in that year, each like new album from that year. So I went back and, I had put, Telegraph Avenue, Oakland. And that song is very good. It holds up, and was my favorite at the time. I put that one in Flight of the Navigator, I think were my two, Oh, sorry. It was Earth, the Oldest Computer. Those were my two.
Can we talk about Earth, the Oldest Computer?
Yeah, let's talk about Earth, the Oldest Computer. Azalea Banks feature. Is that what you wanted to talk about?
I just wish she could rap. That's what she's good at, not singing.
She's good at like the housey kind of like thingy, you know? Like, I get the disappointment for sure.
Yeah. That's like a beat she'd be amazing on. And when I was listening to this, I was like, that sounds like Azalea Banks. Like, yeah. And then I was like, I can't wait until she raps. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Can't wait until she raps. That's
potential for sure.
Okay. I guess she's going to rap later. Okay. Then the song ends and I'm like, bummed. That's it.
Yeah.
She's my problematic fave where I do not endorse Azalea Banks. I think she does and says bad things, right?
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Absolutely. She's pretty good at rapping.
yeah, absolutely.
But I do like in that song though, like, I don't want to see an era. I just want to live forever and ever. Like, I think that totally speaks to a lot of the like existential stuff that we're talking about on other songs. I think that's so good. And then I also do think it's really funny, like that one bit where he's like, A on my chest, like adultery. Yes. And then he says, A on my chest, like a chipmunk. And that's then he lists all of the chipmunks. I think that's so funny.
That is very funny.
Yeah.
Like that song has like the best, like kind of bars of just like profound progress to the only thing that'll last, to be alone is alive. That's like really powerful. And then Telegraph Ave, I feel like he's successfully competing with Drake. Obviously, in terms of streams, Drake will always win, but just like the R&B rap mixture, I think he can compete with that way. And I love how cinematic it is in the way that like Oakland by Lloyd isn't a real song. And so he's sampling a made up song that he made up for this album to like kind of like, it's like this a really cool world building of this album. And I love how it's like him getting in the car and then turning on the radio, him singing along, and then it morphs into the real song. It's awesome. So,
yeah. And it's like framed by the narrative of the song playing on Power 106, which is my local hip hop station. So I like that too.
Oh, it's me. Like,
yeah, it's like, me. I'm in the car listening to the radio.
Stanley, where are you at with highlights?
Oh god, okay. Well, let's just start at the beginning then. Let's start with Crawl. I mean, like, I remember when I first heard this, and just that beat, that you're like, what is happening? And then you're like, where is he gonna go with this? And then he just starts with like, you know, Rec League, I am playing the ball, then the murder song, murder one. I mean, just like he's I'm just going to say it, and I'm Canadian, but he is a better rapper than Drake.
What? Like, no. Whoa. Like,
he's just, I guess I shouldn't say that. It's not that he's a better rapper than Drake.
Certainly he's a better artist. Yeah.
He's a better, like, product of the Ye factory. Like, he's a better, like, Kanye baby.
Yeah.
And I like that because, you know, early Ye was really great at punchlines and then leaving you with meaning. And this, I mean, this whole album, but this track as well, like, he's talking about Ferguson, you know, but he's talking also, he's giving you these punchlines about, like, you know, Rec League, I am paying the ball. Like, it's like, hey, I'm not going to pay to stunt on you guys, I'm just going to do it. And I don't care where it's at. You know, it's like there's that braggadociousness that's essential in hip hop. There's that vulnerability. There's that awareness of what's happening in the real world. Like, it's all mixed into this and then layered with. And I think that this is where he's really a Kanye baby, is the production, right? Like him, J. Cole. Like, there's a lot of these artists that before Ye, you know, Dr. Dre did it a bit, but being a producer rapper was like frowned upon. Like, you're not supposed to be a producer rapper. You're gonna be a shitty rapper or a shitty producer. But Childish Gambino is both, right? He's both an amazing producer and also really good with his bars. And this is like him at his peak, and he's just getting started on this album, you know. I think the last Ye, I know it's not supposed to be a Ye thing, but the last comparison would be the idea of blackness in America, particularly quote unquote masculine blackness, and what does that mean, and accessibility to other people. So Childish Gambino, he's accessible because he's community black, right? So he's Don Glover on Community. Everybody likes him, ha-ha, punchlines, but he's still Donald Glover from Atlanta. He still is in the hood, right? Oakland is still a black city that he's referencing on this album, where he's the most accessible, right? Like, he could have made the most, like, poppy rap record that everyone can just consume, but he still gives you gems. And on this record, he talks about it, right? He says, like, I'm only looking back at them looking at her booty. What's the rationale? They want to smoke N-words when they black and mild. So we act it out, right? Like, he's letting you know, like, hey, like, if you are the accessible black person in America, then they're going to use you until they can abuse you. So every so often, you got to remind them that, hey, like, I'm still, you know, black in America, and I'm aware of my blackness. And it's like wild to see him then later on do like, this is America, right? Like, you know,
and Atlanta,
yes. But that song, This Is America, was a moment where he almost cemented his place in black culture by saying, like, hey, I could have gone another way in expressing gun violence in this country, but I'm going to put it right in their faces, right? I'm going to go in front of a choir and shoot it up. Like, he allows people like me, who aren't part of what is considered a black experience, to still feel proud of the blackness, you know, and still be recognized as black. And I think that's really, really important that he does that on this record, because he's saying, like, I'm building a world, and the world that I'm building, no matter how much you try to make me not do this, will contain blackness, and it's going to be out loud, you know? So the fact that he leads with the song that tells you this is where we're going, and he does that throughout this journey, is a really proud moment. And something I think was important in 2013 and will be important till 3005. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Like, one last point to that is, it's like, I think what changed with this album and the previous one is he apparently grew up in a white school. Like, he was born in Atlanta, and like, he's pretty in poverty. And then his parents helped saved enough to like put him in the white school. And so he was able to like adapt, but also be an outcast at the same time. And then he was the token on 30 Rock. He's like the one black diversity hire on 30 Rock. And then Community was, that character was not supposed to be a black character. It was supposed to be just some white guy. And then he was so funny and so exceptional that they put him on the show. And then with all of that, that's like, he said that like the cops still like harassed me and my parents. Mm-hmm. And like, whenever I show up at an ATM, I have to walk on the other side so I don't scare people. And like, it's Donald Glover. It's the guy on Weirdo. It's the guy on this. I'm still not being seen a certain way. Don't have the accessibility. So I'm going to just stop worrying about making people comfortable. I think this, and ironically, that's what got him respect. You know, that's ironically, mm-hmm. that's what like actually like changed the, like critics like were like, oh, he's actually good and stuff. So it's incredible. Any other highlights you want to just quickly paddle off?
Oh, can I say Pink Toes? Pink Toes is a highlight. I think Janae Aiko is really good there. That is like a much better collaboration than I think the next song. Like, I feel like she,
yeah.
I think notably she's more of a singer as well. So to me, it makes more sense that she's singing on this, you know? And that's just a good song also.
Just like a World Star, just a
so good. I love this so
much. And that's
much.
Another one that's really of the time, you know? Like, yeah, you know, GPOY, yeah. World Star, two things you would say in 2013.
Yeah.
World Star is the 2013-est thing. And I know what World Star is. That's a website where people posted fights and would yell World Star. I remember.
It's also another, thank you, Michael, for knowing things. It's like it's also like another example of postmodernism of we all like all of us tend to view human life as important and we should preserve it. World Star is a website where human suffering and death doesn't matter and let's monetize it. And then like Gambino's in this like kind of like, I'm going to be like, the world's a troll. I'm going to be a troll too. Like, and then also like
World 3 World Tour.
Yeah, exactly. Wait, Troll. Yeah, Troll 3 is World Tour. Troll 2 is the World Tour. Troll 3 is.
Sorry, my joke doesn't make any sense. You're right. You didn't even get it. It didn't even make any sense. No,
what's the third one? Don't look it up. Don't use the internet. Troll 3 is the internet. NSYNC is back.
I just watched Trolls Holiday today, literally.
Oh. Man,
Band Together.
Band Together.
Right, yeah. That's not a very memorable title, I've got to say.
No, it's not as good as World Tour.
And then also, like, it's postmodern in that, like, we all Big Brother now. Like, everything is recorded. And it actually, but unfortunately, it doesn't actually mean shit. Like, Donald Trump can say, you know, grab her by the pussy. And there's no, like, trouble. He doesn't get in any trouble for that. You know, it's like kind of like all the police brutality stuff we record, the body cam stuff. It's just like, in a just world, it'd be a gotcha moment and they'd be, you know, they'd have accountability, but it's just like, so it's like adds to this chaotic, like, fuck it. I'm just going to be a troll. I'm going to be Joker, all that stuff, you know? And then lastly, just like highlight, like Andrew Arminheimer, the life is the biggest troll, is like kind of like where it all clicks into place, where that line of just like, I don't know who I am anymore, then bursts into that energetic, still on the beat though, still like that bit is so good. Gives me chills every time, because I think what he realizes, it's not about the internet. It's not just about the internet. It's because if it was just an internet album where it was all about, you know, ha ha ha, GPOY, ha ha, we're all on our phones too much. It's about humanity. It's about how there's destruction and redemption all rolled into one. And it's our call if we want to help each other, or just like wash our hands and go, not my problem, when we see suffering in the world. And it's like, I think when he's like calling for help at the end, it's like that call to action for us as just listeners. And so he's calling us not to just be consumers and listen to like him say, you got to help me, or listen, go on Instagram, look at situations in the world and of people saying, help us, and go, huh, interesting. And then walk away. You know, it's like he's like calling us to make our world better. So I love it. It's good. It's also, I mean, just that, like his best that, rapping too. Like,
yeah. That, I mean, that line, we are the dreams of our parents lost in the future. Like that is like top tier bar, because it's exactly it. When you're born to die, but your parents dream that you're going to achieve whatever. And you're just spending your life in some ways, always trying to find that dream and actualize it. And then if you have kids and you start doing the exact same thing your parents did, it's, he really tapped in. Like, I kind of wish this came out in 2023. Cause, ooh, I think in 2013, like, but we were ready to have this conversation in 2013. Like, you know, I think there wasn't enough understanding of the impact of the internet to us as a culture, mm-hmm, enough. And now that we've lived through shooting, after we lived through Donald Trump, well, this is all American examples, but, you know, after all these things have happened,
Justin Trudeau, the great maple syrup.
You leave Justin Trudeau
out
of this. I'm not talking about that. I'm still mourning about losing all the maple syrup, eh?
the hockey stick shortage of
Oh, that actually was for real. That was a problem. That was a scary thought. It's like, are we going to cancel the NHL for months? Because we got no sticks? Yeah, anyway, it's okay, let's get to the end so yeah. I can get my thoughts.
Any lowlights, just real quick.
No. Can I say maybe kind of zealots of Stockholm? It's a little
no
for me, just for listening. I'm sorry, for vibes, it throws off the vibes.
Vibes only.
Yeah.
How's it throw up the vibe? No, what? You don't
all right, really? Never mind. Redacted. I take it back. I don't even want to talk about it. Let's go to the end.
No, I was just going to say the thing I really like, the one line I really like in Zealots of Stockholm. I know we were talking about this as a little light, but is it real because you're online? Like that line really hits.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm a freaky bitch.
Okay. I say that every morning when I get up. That's one of my mantras. I tell that to my bosses. I do all that.
Yeah. Worst guys, I feel the same way of like the Azalea thing. I'm just like, man, I wish Chance had a verse on there. You know, like. Yeah, that would have a third verse or whatever. Like, it would have been great.
All
like
this era, some.
Yeah, this era Chance, it would have been so fun. Apparently, he went on to record that Justin Bieber song with him. He was like too busy doing that, so to do that, which is a great song. I love that song. Like, it's like tattoos, piercings, and she just literally he did that. Like, so okay. No. I was like before that, 2013.
It sounds like it would unfortunately be my new favorite song. I heard it.
It's phenomenal. It's a so yeah, let's go through final thoughts and ratings. The way this works is we'll rate this out of 10, a fun metric at the end. Yeah, who would like to go first?
I like this album. It's nice to listen to an album all the way through, especially one that I feel like I've heard a lot of, but maybe haven't heard start front to back. So this is a good exercise in like listening to music I don't sit down and listen to all the way through, right? Like I'll put on 2005 a lot. Like even now. So it was fun getting kind of the context of the whole album. I really like it. I like the context that you provided to me a lot, Andrew, too, which I didn't have before. I'm going to give this, for me, 8 out of 10.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I really liked revisiting this album. I hadn't really listened. Because it was on my playlist, I obviously listened to it in 2013. It was definitely in rotation for me a lot at that time. But I dropped it and haven't been back to it until this weekend. So I thought it was really cool to come back to it, and I enjoyed it a lot. So I'm going to give it 8.5 out of 10 Coppola's Me and Sophia.
It's great. It's a great album. It's an important album. I think what made hip hop so great was that it was about the individual and a collective. And what makes Childish Gambino so great is that he is so raw as an individual and so forward thinking for the collective. And so I would just encourage everyone to go listen to Dissect. Podcast, given a season on this album, and you do a really great job of breaking down every track and also the screenplay, and it's worth visiting this world. It's a really, really great world because it is ours. It's the world that we're in right now. So for that reason, I'll give it 10. Fuck, I don't want to say this. God, it's like right in front of my face. 10 freaky bitches out of 10.
Yeah.
I love the world it's created. Like, I love the transmedia world. You're telling me this media is trans, blah, blah, blah. Okay, so
Andrew, you can't say stuff, mumble things I'm going to say to interrupt
I knew you were going to say that. So like, I just had to say it first. Yeah, like, the experience of just, like, these layered, the layered in terms of the different mediums, layered in terms of how it's scriptible, it's writerly, in that you assign your own meaning on top of what is written. It doesn't spell out everything. It makes you do the work in terms of just like, what does this mean to you? What is the meaning of who you are and why we are here and what to do? I think that's really powerful. I think it's like the framework it provides is so wonderful. And I think it's in spite of how sad it is, it's very hope. I view this as a very hopeful album.
I agree.
In that it's about the cyclical nature of life and death, and that how, like, I was talking about my year and how it started off good and then it was like really difficult towards the end.
You're bad.
yeah, You're Bad, Wonka Good. Like, I'll tell you about that. But like, 2024 is around the corner, and like, you know, I gained wisdom from that those experiences. And I think it's true that, like, I think it's like pointing out that you're given chance after chance after chance to be better and to grow up and to connect with loved ones, and that you are capable and powerful even if you are lost. So I'm going to give it 10,005 out of 10,005. Nice. So yeah, that was our review of Childish Gambino's Because of the Internet. Yeah, we're going to take a little break for a few months. This has been really, I'm really proud of the show. I'm really happy to connect with the three of you. I think this is one of our best years of the show. So thank you so much. I really love this. I would love to keep doing it for, yeah. Also Wonka Good. So you can follow the show at IBMTLTT on Instagram, TikTok, and Instagram and TikTok. You can follow me at Andrew Ambrose Lee. What do you about you guys? Where can people find you?
You can follow me at Lemon Taco and at Wonka the Movie on Instagram.
Oh, that's funny.
You can find me at SnapaSten on Instagram.
Yeah, hell yeah.
You can follow me at Harping About on all the platforms, but mostly Instagram and Letterboxd, where I'm trying to watch 365 movies before the end of the year.
What are you at now? What are you at now as of December 17th?
Oh, man. As of December 17th, I am at, 1 second, I'm pulling it up as fast as I can, 339.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, you're falling behind.
I am behind. If I do two a day, I've got it.
Okay. If you watch Wonka, twice a day, will that make it like, yeah, does that count as two rewatch? Movies?
You can rewatch. I think rewatching counts. So,
yeah.
But Andrew, thank you for bringing us all together on this podcast. I've had a great time this year. So I just want to say shout out to you for collecting us like Pokemon.
Yeah, I love doing this show with you guys. I love knowing Stedley and Harper. I think that is one of my, not to make this mushy episode ending, but glad to do this with you guys. I like knowing both of y'all. I really enjoy being, Andrew, you know I like you. I've been on the show with you for a long time. Harper and Stedley, I wasn't on any episodes with Stedley until we were hosts together. I think same with Harper. I think I just wasn't available the episodes you were on.
Yeah.
But I love doing this with you guys, so. You guys tolerate me, and I love that about you. So
that's sweet.
I think we should make it as a goal for 2024 to have one live podcast. Like, we all get together somehow, some way. Let's just put in ether and see what happens in 2024. I mean, Canada is a great place to visit.
You mean like in person? Yeah. Oh,
wow. Live in person.
Yeah, in person. Yeah, the nation's capital, live, Ottawa, Ontario.
Live from Canada.
IBM.
What? I love you guys. It's awesome. Follow me. Oh, you could also follow me on Music Board. I'm trying that out. I'm just like, I just log the albums I listen to. Sometimes I'll just like, it's more just like impulsive, just like my dumb thought. Like, this is my thought out thing. This is just, I'm going to write like a jokes there. I'm going to write jokes there and maybe occasionally an essay. But also, if you want to like guess what we're going to cover next, you could check me out there. So Andrew Ambrose Lee on Music Board.
Nice. So, fostering a blank check Reddit of fans.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So, thank you so much. Have a good day. Click.